Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 119. From that portion we read earlier, Psalm 119 and verse 130. Psalm 119. In verse 130, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. And our subject this morning is the entrance of the word, the entrance of the word. Well, we come to consider these words in Psalm 119, which is not a psalm that we often visit, at least not in our evangelistic service. And no doubt many of you will be aware already that this is the longest of the psalms by a considerable distance. We look at verse 130 here, but there are 176 verses in this Psalm 119, and much longer than any of the other psalms. The nearest psalm to it is Psalm 78, which has 72 verses, but Psalm 119 is the longest psalm. And what is it all about? And what will our message be about this morning? Well, this psalm is all about the Word of God from start to finish. All 176 verses, it is an expression of love and devotion to the Word of God. Because if we love the Word of God, if we are devoted to the Word of God, well, then we love God Himself, because it is His Word. And so this is what this psalm is, Psalm 119. If you've never read it, I greatly recommend it to you, of course. But it is essentially, very simply, a psalm of thanksgiving to the Lord for His word, for His excellent word. And this sets this psalm apart. It's quite unusual in that sense. You have many psalms speaking of creation, many psalms speaking of God's sovereignty and various other things. But in this psalm, in the longest psalm, the focus is on the Word of God. And by the way, just to mention this, again, we don't often visit this psalm, but this psalm is a great example of what some of you may have heard of. This is an acrostic. This is an acrostic, which very simply means that in the original language, of course, you will know that the original language of the Old Testament is Hebrew. In the original language of Hebrew, each line of each section of this psalm begins with the same letter. So it sounds quite complicated, but if you, well, for example, if you look above verse 129, you will see Pei, P-E. You should have that in your Bibles. Now, Pei is a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and that means that in that section of Pei, in the original language, every verse, every line begins with that pay, with that letter. So that is what it means. And before it, of course, just before 121, you have ayin. So that's a letter of the Hebrew alphabet, and then sade afterwards. So it goes through the whole of the Hebrew alphabet. And in that section, in that particular section, each line begins with that particular letter. So it's like an A to Z, this psalm. It's like an A to Z of worship and praise to God. I hope that's not been too technical for you, but this is how much the Word of God was esteemed, A to Z. It's almost as though the psalmist is saying, well, this is the highest use of language. This is the highest use of words, of the alphabet. This is the reason why man has been given language and words to praise God. This is really the message of this psalm. The A to Z, what is the greatest use of words? It's not to speak about trivial things. is not to speak about foolish things or immoral things. The greatest use of language is to speak of Christ. It's the word of God. So really, all of these things, this is what is being conveyed in this psalm. And I hope that hasn't been too much for you. I know this is a gospel message, not teaching, but it's very interesting to see these things. But let us begin to focus on verse 130 and what these words mean. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And so through these words, God willing, we will be able to trace the gospel message. And really, my first point about these words is that this is an invitation. The entrance of thy words giveth light. This is an invitation. Now, when we read these words, the key word, of course, is entrance. Entrance. Now, we have an entrance to this church, and it's an open door for all to come in if they so please. And really, what this psalm is saying here, or this verse is saying, is that the word of God is like that. The word of God is like an open door. It's like an open door that the Lord invites us to walk through. Any of us who desire to meet with the living God, there is an entrance. There is a starting point. And what is the starting point? Well, it is the Bible. People will always ask me, how can I meet with God? They're seeking some great spiritual experience. Maybe they're seeking some vision or something amazing happen to them. But actually, the Bible says, this is the entrance. This is the door. This is the way. If you want to meet with God, go through this way, the word of God. That is what it means. The entrance. It's not specifically speaking about the word coming into us, but us entering in. There is an entrance. The entrance of thy words. And this word is the only way by which we can know the living God. And I say this very often, it's only through the Bible. It's not through any other book. It's not through any other means. It's the only way we can know the true and living God. Now, of course, it is possible to know that God exists without the Bible. And the Bible itself teaches us this. You can know that there is a God without the Bible because of creation, because of the world around us, because of the natural world. When you look at the evidence of the natural world, the design of the natural world, the animal kingdom, the laws and order of nature, when you look at yourself in the mirror, human beings, how we are fearfully and wonderfully made, the design of the body, the eyes, the ears, the hands, the feet. There is so much evidence. So you can know that there is a God, a creator God, yes, without the Bible. But how do you actually know what he is like? How do you actually get to know this creator God? There's no other way except through the Bible. This is the entrance. This is how you meet with God, as it were. You must walk this way. You must come to the word of God. Otherwise, you will never know God. The scriptures again testify. You cannot work out what God is like by yourself. Without the Bible, the best that people can do, they can perhaps guess what God is like. But they're always in the dark. You know, well, you will remember, some of you, the Apostle Paul went to Athens during his ministry, and they had a monument to the unknown God, an unknown God. What does that tell you? Well, they knew there was a God. They knew there was a creator God, but they didn't actually know him. They didn't know what he was like. Well, of course, they didn't have the word of God. And that's why the Apostle Paul came, to preach the word of God to them. He was unknown to them. There is no way you can understand what God is like without the word of God. You cannot know him. The best you can do is guess, or perhaps even create your own God or your own religion, as many people do. But it's only the word of God that reveals how he is, his character, his attributes, his holiness, the holy God we read of, his almighty power, how God is sovereign. There is nothing that happens by accident, by chance. God is ruling over everything. His will shall be done. These things you can only know through the word of God. You can only know about his nature, his triune nature. How he is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God and yet three persons. You could never work that out. Man can never work that out by himself. That there is one God and yet three glorious persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The only way you can know that is through the word of God. You can't work it out. So, dear friends, this is the first point. This is the entrance. If you want to know God, you must come through the word of God. What is God like? What is his character? What is his holiness, how great is his holiness? And of course, what is the plan that the Lord has for me? What is the plan of salvation? Again, you don't know anything about the plans of God, the purposes of God, what God has done to save man, to save his soul. You have no understanding what that looks like. It's only through the scriptures. So dear friends, any seekers, the best advice I can always give you, read the word of God. This, by the way, is how I came to the Lord. I wasn't going to a church. It was through the word of God. The word of God is able to save you. It's through the word that you meet the Lord and that you know him. So that's the first point, the entrance of thy words. Secondly, we read something about this entrance. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth light. Well, this helps us understand, doesn't it? That without the word of God, we are in darkness. We are in darkness. You know, one illustration that came to me, perhaps it's not a very good illustration, but one illustration that I will use nonetheless. Well, it's when you go through a tunnel, perhaps if you've ever taken the Channel Tunnel to France, you're in this tunnel. And everything is black. Of course, you can't see anything outside the window. You look out and everything is black. There is nothing there. That is, if I can put it this way, the life of an unbeliever. He's in the dark. And also he has almost tunnel vision. An unbeliever has a very narrow view of life. He's like he's in a tunnel and he's in the dark. He only lives for the here and now. He only lives for what he can see, work, rest, and play. That's the ultimate limit of his life. That's all that he knows. He has a very narrow view. But then when you come out of the tunnel, when then the light enters in and you can see the world around you. You can see the bigger picture. Dear friends, that's a believer. That's what happens to a believer when he comes to the word of God. Before, they had a very narrow vision and everything was dark. You look out at the world, everything is darkness. But when you come out of the tunnel, dear friends, when you come to the word of God, then you understand the bigger picture. Then you understand that there is meaning in life. Again, somebody without God, what is the meaning? They don't know. They can only guess, perhaps. And even then, if you ask people, they will say they don't know what the meaning of life is. They're just wandering from one thing to the next. They don't know where their life is going. They're in darkness about these things. But when you come out into the light, you know there is meaning. God has a meaning for each and every one of us. What is the meaning of life? Well, the Bible explains to us. Let me put it to you in this way. The meaning of life is to find everlasting life. Because God's intention is not that you just live here for 70 odd years and then you die and that's it. That's not the meaning of life. Is that it? You just live on this earth, you slowly get old, and then you die. Is that the meaning? That's not the meaning of life. You're still in the dark if you think that. You're still living for this world. The meaning of this life is to find your way to everlasting life. That's the meaning. To find your way to God, acceptance with Him, so that you know it's not the end, so that you know that when you leave this world, you go to be in a better place, a place where there is joy, happiness, light, everlasting light. This is the meaning of your life, to find your way from darkness to light forevermore. But dear friends, you don't know that unless you come to the Word of God. People out in this world, they don't know anything about this. It's only when we come to the Word of God. The entrance of thy words giveth light, dear friends. How is it with you? Are you approaching the light? Or are you still in the tunnel, as it were? Now, of course, there are many people who like to stay in darkness. Let me make this point. Because this is what we see all around us in the world. There are many people who like to stay in darkness. And again, the scriptures teach us this. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Dear friends, this is one of the saddest verses in the whole of the scriptures. Men love darkness rather than light. Why is that? Well, again, the Bible teaches us. Why do we see all this rebellion? Why, when you try to speak to somebody about God, they're not interested? Why is that? Are you in the dark about these things? The Bible explains it. Man is sinful. We are a fallen, sinful human race. We are sinners by nature, sinners by birth. That is how the scriptures enlighten us. Don't be in the dark about these things. And man loves his sin. Man does not want to be departed from his sin. And so that is why he hates the Word of God. Because, of course, the Word of God calls us away from sin into holiness. Come away from darkness. Come into the light. Be holy. Repent. That's what the Bible says. Repent, don't live in your sin anymore. Come and be holy as God is holy. Follow the holy God. But man wants his, he loves his sin so much. He loves the darkness rather than light. This is what it's like. And this is so very tragic, dear friends. I often speak about these things, but I have to ask the question, what is it like with you? Are you in this state? You hear about the Lord, you hear the Word of God, light is being presented to you. Do you love darkness? You love your sin. What is your sin? Is it pride? Is it lust? Maybe it's some covetousness. You want lots of money. You want lots of money when you grow up. You want success. You want fame. You love those things, all those sins that keep you away from God. You want to stay in the darkness. I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to come into the light. Dear friends, that is so very sad. That is so very foolish. Think of your soul, dear friends. You have a soul. Again, this is what the Bible teaches us. Many people outside in the world, still living in darkness, they will say, I have no soul. I've heard many people say that to me. You talk to them, what about your soul? That we don't have a soul. That is something that is foolish, some old-fashioned notion. What does the Bible say? It gives us light on these things. You have a soul, a never-dying soul. And I often say this when you meet older people or elderly people in their 80s, in their 90s, they will tell you they don't feel any different to the way they were when they were young. Why is inside themselves, they will say, yes, the body is old and aching, but inside themselves, they don't feel any different. Why is that? Because the soul never ages. The soul is never dying. It's not like the body. You're not just a body. You are a soul. That's why you always feel the same within. You have a soul. Don't be in the dark about these things. You most certainly have a soul. But dear friends, without Christ, what is the state of your soul? Your soul is dying. It is dying. Let me give you another illustration. Perhaps this is slightly better than the earlier one. If you had a plant, if you had a flower of some kind, if you put it in the dark, if you put it away from sunlight or any kind of light, you just leave it in a dark cupboard or something, it's not going to live. It might live for a little while, but it is slowly dying without the light. That is your soul without God, without Christ. It's slowly dying. The longer you go without the Lord Jesus, well, then the life is being drained out of your soul. Dear friends, this is what the Lord said. If the darkness be in you, how great is that darkness? How great is that darkness? I remember I could see the darkness when I was coming to the Lord just before I was saved. There were things I was doing in my 20s that I never thought I would do as a teenager. You know, when you're young, you see adults doing things and you say to yourself, I'm never going to do that. That is terrible. But then you end up doing that same thing because your soul is getting darker and darker. Dear friends, it will only get worse. You must seek the light, dear friends. Don't leave your soul in the dark. You must come to the light. Now, what exactly is the light of the scriptures? The entrance of thy words giveth light. What is the light specifically? The light, of course, is a person. The light of the scriptures is the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole of the scriptures are light because the whole of the scriptures speak about Christ from start to finish. The Lord himself said this, the scriptures testify of me. And when the Lord rose again, you will know this. He came alongside two disciples on the road to Emmaus. He died, he rose again. He came alongside the two disciples. He opened up the scriptures, the Old Testament, and he said, all of the scriptures speak of me and why I had to suffer and die. So you see, the reason why the scriptures are full of light is because they are full of Christ. Christ is the light of the world. This is what he said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And dear friends, the scriptures teach us why Christ came into the world. The scriptures give us understanding about Christ. Do you have that understanding, dear friends? This is another question I have to put to you. Do you understand who Christ is? He's not just a moral example. He is your Savior. Do you understand what he has done to save you? Do you understand why he died? Again, many people, even professing Christians sometimes you speak to, you ask them, why did Christ die? They don't really know. And perhaps it's because they don't have the understanding. You know, actually, I should have spoken about this. There is a condition given that means that you will have understanding. Understanding of the Word of God is not just given to anyone. Look at these words at the end of verse 130. It giveth understanding unto the simple. So it is true that everyone who reads the word of God will not have understanding. It's only those who are simple. Now, what does that mean? The word gives understanding to the simple. Does that mean people who are simple-minded, who are not educated? Well, of course, that's what the unbelieving world thinks of Christians. They always think that Christians, well, they must be uneducated. They're simple-minded. If they believe in God, there must be something wrong with them. That's what the world thinks. They're too stupid to believe anything else. Is that what this word is saying? No, of course not. And by the way, there have been many very well-educated Christians, the Apostle Paul, of course, being one of them. But when you read simple here, let me get to the point. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Really, it means humility. It means humility. It's humbling yourself. You're coming to the word of God as though you are simple. You may be very well educated, but you're coming to the word of God as though you know nothing. It's like a child going to school, a child who wants to be taught, who is teachable, who is willing to learn. They will, of course, profit from the lesson. But if you get a child who thinks he knows everything, well, I'm going into this lesson, I know everything. What has this teacher got to tell me? They will not profit anything at all. So that's the illustration here. When you come to the word of God, you have to humble yourself. And when you humble yourself, then the understanding will come. Not if you say to yourself, oh, I know everything. This pastor can't teach me anything. This word of God can't teach me anything. Then you will never understand what Christ has done. And you'll never be saved. You'll never be saved. Dear friends, it is only somebody who humbles themselves before the word, who seeks the meaning, who prays over the meaning, and who cries out for God. Dear friends, the word gives us understanding of all that Christ has done. That Christ came. Why did he come? To take the punishment for our sin. We are all sinners by nature, as I've already said. And God must punish sin. So he must punish us. He must either punish us, or somebody must come and take the punishment in our place. That is the Lord Jesus Christ. That is why he came into the world. That is why he died. Somebody in darkness doesn't understand this, but in the light of the word of God, we see it. And we are given understanding. Christ died for sinners. And we are given understanding too that I must come. Me personally, Christ has died for the sins that I've committed in my body, in my life. Christ took the punishment on the cross. I must believe in him. He's the only way of salvation. The only way I can go to heaven. I can't go with my sins. My sins must be atoned for. My sin debt must be paid. And it's only Christ. Dear friends, you must humble yourself before the word of God. Time is almost out. But be teachable. Do not have the wrong attitude. Do not be somebody who comes to the word of God and says, I am better than this, as many people say. All of these Christians are fools, you will see people say, but not me. I'm not being taken in by the word of God. I am not so easily led, people will say. Dear friends, that is so sad. And may I suggest, just as we close, may I suggest that you are easily led. That you are easily led. Only you are being easily led in the wrong way. You are being easily led to hell. Dear friends, this is what I say to people who think they're too good for the word of God. I'm not easily led, they will say. You are being easily led to hell. This is going to be one of the sorrows of people who end up in hell. Only then will they realize how easily led they were into that terrible place, how easily led they were of their friends. The only reason they didn't come to Christ, because of my friends, because of what they would say. How easily led to destruction, to eternal destruction. You were so easily led because you didn't want your friends to laugh at you. You are easily led, but you're being led in the wrong way. Others will say, oh, I never came to Christ because I watched a program or a documentary which said the Bible was a load of rubbish. Dear friend, how easily led you are. Something on the TV you watched and now you have to suffer eternal loss. You are easily led, but you're being led the wrong way. Dear friends, may I suggest to you, you be easily led the other way. You be easily, freely led to Christ. The way to Christ is free. All you need to do is believe in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then there will be eternal bliss, eternal glory, not eternal loss, not eternal darkness. Dear friends, there will be no word of grace and mercy in hell, but there are words of grace and mercy this day for you to believe, for you to hear, and for you to obey. Dear friends, if any of us here are still living in darkness, think upon these things, think upon your soul, think upon the word of God, which leads us to light, light at the end of the tunnel. Read the word of God, believe the word of God, and Christ will be your eternal light. Well, may the Lord bless these words to us. The entrance of thy words giveth light.